If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Good morning to you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It is Friday, June 11th, 2021. Aren't we glad about that? Yep, I'm Gail King. That's Anthony Mason. That's Tony DeCoppo. Let's go.
We begin with President Biden's push to restore America's relations with its allies at a high-stakes summit in Britain. Yesterday, he met with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who called him a breath of fresh air. Both men are in Cornwall for the G7 summit of the world's seven wealthiest democracies, which starts today. Our Nancy Cordes is there as well. Nancy, the president has already had some success negotiating a more robust international response to the pandemic. What's on the agenda today?
Well, Anthony, today some of the world's most powerful leaders are going to be gathering in this tiny seaside town to discuss ways to build back after COVID-19. And President Biden revealed yesterday that they are set to announce as a group today new measures to combat the pandemic.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
President Biden says he's looking for a reset today when he sits down with the other six G7 allies who did not always see eye to eye with his predecessor.
Everybody is absolutely thrilled to see you.
The fence mending started yesterday with a friendly, roughly 90-minute meeting with UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
We covered a huge range of subjects, and it's wonderful to listen to the Biden administration and to Joe Biden.
In a bit of fashion diplomacy, First Lady Dr. Jill Biden donned a love jacket, drawing comparisons with former First Lady Melania Trump, who famously wore one that read, "I really don't care, do you?" on a trip to meet migrant children at a Texas detention center.
We're bringing love from America.
Another show of soft power came when President Biden announced a plan to buy half a billion doses of the Pfizer vaccine and share them with low-income nations around the world.
America will be the arsenal of vaccines in our fight against COVID-19. Just as America was the arsenal of democracy during World War II.
Mr. Biden said the doses come with no strings attached, a move to counter Russia and China's recent push to use vaccines to gain influence. White House COVID response coordinator Jeff Zients spearheaded the purchase, expected to total $3.5 billion.
Is this donation meant to challenge other industrialized nations to step up their giving as well?
Absolutely. I think all the world's democracies need to come together to show that the world's democracies can tackle the biggest problem, and the biggest problem that we face is COVID-19.
All this talk about democracies and alliances, it's more than just platitudes. It's meant to send a message to Russia and China in particular that the world's biggest democracies are united again and working together, and that democracy itself is still the most effective form of government. Tony.
Nancy Cordes for us in Cornwall. Nancy, thank you very much. The CDC will hold an emergency meeting of advisors next week to discuss the possibility of a new an extremely rare side effect of COVID vaccines for young people. New data shows there have been at least 226 cases of heart inflammation in people 30 and younger who received a Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. It is happening mostly in men. And for more on all this, we are joined by our Dr. David Agus. Dr. Agus, good morning to you. So we say this is new, we say it's rare. How concerning is it?
You know, it's important that we're aware of it, but I'm not concerned. 226 cases and 130 million vaccines. Almost all of them were able to go home after presenting to an emergency room, treated with anti-inflammatories. And it is at a much lower rate than you see this inflammation called myocarditis than you do with the virus. So the vaccine is less than the virus, but it's something that it's important to be aware of.
The cases involve patients as young as 12 years old. So what should parents be watching out for? Or if the cases are for people a little bit older, what should people be thinking about in terms of symptoms?
So doctors are aware now, and patients should be aware. Fever, chest pain, shortness of breath, and it's a characteristic pain that when you lean forward, it's a little bit worse, and when you lean back, it's better. Mm-hmm. Doctors now know to do an EKG and potentially a blood test to rule this out and to treat it with anti-inflammatories. So it's good people are aware, but it is critically important that we keep vaccinating the young individuals.
Do you still support continued trials of vaccines for young people, people as young as two?
100%. Again, this is worse with the virus. The new Delta variant is so infectious that we have to start vaccinating younger individuals so they can be protected. The vaccines are safe and they work, and the safety reporting system has worked because we're aware of this.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the clarity, Dr. David Agus. Thank you very much.
Now on to Washington we go, and the latest in a series of revelations about the Justice Department under former President Trump. CBS News has learned the department subpoenaed personal data of at least two Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee in 2017 and in 2018. Now, at the time, Attorney General Jeff Sessions was looking into leaks of classified information about contacts between Russia and the president's aides. The subpoenas were first reported last night by the New York Times. CBS News senior investigative correspondent, there she is, Catherine Herridge, joins us now with more on the story. Good morning to you, Catherine. What's been the reaction on Capitol Hill so far?
Gail, good morning. The reaction has been one of anger, especially among Democrats who say this is another example of what they call the Trump administration's assault on democracy and using the Justice Department as its own political weapon against his opponents. It's not clear what leaks the Justice Department was pursuing, but media reports about top Trump aides' conversations with Russian officials were frequent during the transition and after he became president. The New York Times reported that the Justice Department in 2017 under Sessions, and again in 2018, subpoenaed Apple and an unnamed company for the communications metadata of at least a dozen people connected to the House Intelligence Committee. CBS News has confirmed the DOJ subpoenaed the records of Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, as well as aides, family members, and even a minor, all in an attempt to find the leaker. Congressman Schiff, now the committee's chairman, and Swalwell confirmed their data was seized last night and called for an immediate investigation. Although the metadata did not tie any committee members to the leaks, Sessions' successor, Bill Barr, revived the investigation in 2019. The Intelligence Committee received confirmation in May of this year that the investigation had been closed. We've reached out to a spokesperson for the former president, but have not heard back. Both Apple and the Department of Justice declined our multiple requests for comment, Anthony.
Catherine Herridge, thank you, Catherine. 10 senators say they've worked out a plan to improve America's infrastructure, but we don't know if their colleagues will vote for it. The five Democrats and five Republicans made a tentative deal estimated to cost nearly $1 trillion over 5 years. The bill includes no tax increases and calls for roughly $579 billion in added spending. Earlier this week, President Biden broke off talks with Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito on his own compromise bill. The 10 senators said in a statement, this can lay the groundwork to garner broad support from both parties. The White House responded that questions need to be addressed, but said the president appreciates the senators' work.
The head of the FBI says there's a lot more to come from the investigation of the assault on the Capitol, and he expects maybe more serious charges against people involved in that January 6th attack. The House Judiciary Committee questioned Director Christopher Wray about intelligence failures before January 6th. Chris Van Cleave is on Capitol Hill for us. Chris, good morning to you. A lot of people curious to know whether the director's testimony mentioned former President Trump.
Well, good morning. You know, the week started with a major bipartisan Senate report looking at what went wrong on January 6th, but that report didn't talk about the role of the former president. The FBI director, during hours of testimony and questioning yesterday, didn't definitively indicate whether or not his agency was looking at it, but he certainly didn't rule it out.
More than 5 months after a mob crashed its way into the Capitol, FBI Director Christopher Wray wouldn't say whether his agency is probing if President Trump provoked it.
I'm not aware of any investigation that specifically goes to that, but we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of investigations related to January 6th.
Ray acknowledged almost none of the estimated 500 people now arrested for their roles in the riot had been on the FBI's radar.
Did the FBI simply miss the evidence, or did it see the evidence and fail to piece it together?
You can be darn sure that we are going to be looking hard at how we can do better, how we can do more, how we can do things differently.
Including stepped-up scrutiny of white supremacists, who Ray said are now the deadliest domestic threat.
We have elevated racially motivated violent extremism at our highest threat priority level. That's commensurate with ISIS.
And following high-profile cyber hacks that fueled a frenzy at the pump and threatened the U.S. meat supply, Ray said the FBI is investigating about 100 different ransomware variants.
The cyber threat is increasing almost exponentially.
Amid new revelations that JBS, the world's largest meat processor, paid $11 million in ransom, Ray cautioned other companies should not.
So aren't we just inviting more attacks when you pay off these thugs?
That it encourages more of this kind of activity.
But instead, he said, call the FBI, revealing the total ransom paid already has tripled over the past year.
The scale of this is something that I don't think this country's ever seen anything quite like it, and it's going to get much worse.
Ray says a lot of these ransomware attacks originate in Russia, but did not elaborate on how closely linked they are to the Kremlin. That is a topic that is likely to come up when President Biden meets with President Putin next week. Anthony?
Chris Van Cleve at the Capitol. Thanks, Chris.
Police in Florida still don't know why a gunman opened fire inside a Publix supermarket yesterday, killing a woman and her one-year-old grandchild before fatally shooting himself. According to authorities in Royal Palm Beach, Timothy J. Wall opened fire on the victims in the produce aisle, but it's not clear if he knew them. The motive is still a mystery.
Police are looking for a suspect in connection with a massive fire that burned three townhouses to the ground in the Philadelphia area. The authorities say the fire started after a confrontation between the suspect and a code enforcement officer trying to do an inspection at his home yesterday. The suspect allegedly waved a gun and threatened the code officer, and then when police arrived, the man fled into his home. Several explosions went off, and the flames spread to nearby homes. Police say it's unclear if the suspect's body is in the rubble of his home. At least one person suffered minor injuries from the fire.
All this week, we have focused on the rising fire risk in the West, the extreme drought, and the threat to farming and wildlife. This morning, five wildfires are burning in Utah, and the governor has declared a drought emergency there. The Great Salt Lake is expected to reach its lowest point in modern history this year. Jonathan Vigliotti shows how the lack of water affects lives and livelihoods in Utah, where many farmers are struggling just to keep their crops alive.
I don't know how long we can survive because I don't know how bad it's going to get.
On his property north of Salt Lake City, sixth-generation farmer Ron Gibson is covering his crops with plastic to conserve water. His water allocation was cut by 70%.
If we don't get these crops to market, we can't survive.
He also says the cost of feeding his dairy cows has doubled in a year.
When agriculture's gone, then our ability to produce food is gone. That's what scares me the most about this whole situation.
The entire state of Utah is experiencing drought, more than 90% in an extreme category.
We would be standing underwater had it been a normal water year.
We met Zach Frankel, executive director of the Utah Rivers Council at the Great Salt Lake.
90% of our precipitation comes in the winter and snow. As our winter air temperatures continue to rise, we're getting less and less snow in our mountains.
Utah Governor Spencer Cox has declared a state of emergency and called on people in Utah to reduce their water use and pray for rain.
We need some divine intervention.
So when the governor says, pray for rain, what do you say to that?
I say, the Lord helps those who help themselves. And the question is, are state leaders willing to accept that this is not a short-term drought, but that this is long-term climate change?
Utah is the second driest state in the country, but has some of the highest public water consumption per capita. Back on the farm, Gibson says a continued water crisis means an uncertain future.
Your family's been doing this for 152 years. That's many generations. Do you worry that this is the last generation of farming in your family?
You know, I can't sleep at night and most nights because that's exactly the concern.
We're told this marina would normally be floating on about 10 feet of water, but like much of the state, it has dried up. Utah feeds the Colorado River, and less water in this state means trouble downstream, impacting nearly 40 million people in seven states. For CBS This Morning, Jonathan Vigliotti, Antelope Island in Utah's Great Salt Lake.
I don't know how many more alarm bells you need, you know?
No, I feel for him saying, I can't sleep at night. Next time we complain about heavy rain, think about the people that would really kill to have a big drenching.
Yep. And next time you open your fridge and you see fruit and you see vegetables, think about the farmers who are bringing that to us.
I can't imagine being a farmer and imagining like 150 years of family farming maybe coming to an end here.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.